Hey, Derek.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, sir. We've been derelicts. Well, I mean, you've been Derek. I mean, have you been derelict? Don't answer that. We've both been derelicts. I think we can, folks. We owe you an apology. We have not been as regular the last few weeks with the podcast as either of us had hoped. But we'll talk about that later on the podcast. Here's the good news: we're back.
We are, and we have not been as regular as we'd liked. No thanks at all to not a sponsor, Sunsweet Prunes.
Sunsweet Prunes, they'll make you poop. I miss that gimmick. I mean, that's like a season 2 gimmick of Cheaters Never Win. Folks who have been listening forever will know that, you know, all of the fake sponsor gimmicks we used to have. But now we have real sponsors. We'll talk about them later, too. Derek, we should probably talk hockey since we haven't talked hockey for the better part of 2.5 weeks. Are we still fans of the Carolina Hurricanes?
Can confirm. I think what would be a lot of fun for people, Mike, is if we broke down all 9 Hurricanes games period by period in excruciating detail. Does that sound like fun to you?
That sounds like the worst idea ever.
I've had a lot of bad ideas. Are you sure you want to stick with that?
I mean, we could put that into the bad idea generator and see what grade it comes out with. I mean, because we have, I mean, if you look at like what's on my computer in terms of the bad idea generator, there are a lot on there. So Derek, let's start with the big question in quite possibly all of hockey. Are the Carolina Hurricanes actually good?
See, this really feels like the old Letterman bit of, is this something? But yes, the Canes are actually good. I know they dropped the last couple games, but that's not entirely unexpected. I think if you look at the NHL standings, they're still, what, top 10 or so, I think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I
should have had that prepped.
We're six and three after nine games.
Yeah, we're third in the division, only because Washington has played one more game than we have. And I'm really not too worried. We've looked good so far. The goaltending has been kind of shaky. The special teams were really good early, and we've gotten a lot of good production from some guys that we've been expecting this from, and there are some guys who still aren't playing all that well at this point of the season. So with all of those variables in place, some good, some bad, our record is good, and I think this is a good team. What say you?
You know what? I don't know if this team is good yet. I can tell you what they are. They are fun! I still love that gimmick. This team is fun.
Say, hold on, though. Do you not think you're not sure if they're a good team yet? I'm not saying like a Joe Flacco elite team, but they're a good team.
I hope so. I mean, I think here's as we kind of dive into this now, 9 games into the season, as you said, Carolina Hurricanes, 12 points in 9 games, a +5 goal differential, and really just feeling like we're playing pretty good. We lost our last 2 on the end of the West Coast road swing, and I think we're going to do that. My concern is it feels like a lot of our offense has been coming from a couple of the new guys and the defense. I'm a little bit worried about that first line. That said, our power play, for the most part, has been good. So maybe the better question isn't, are the Canes good? Is the Canes' power play actually good?
But
I mean, I look at this and the team's fun to watch. The players just seem to be enjoying the hell out of themselves on and off the ice. Rod Brind'Amour doesn't feel like he's lost or the shine off of everything that he's doing and the way that he's doing it. I'm going to say the loss of Jordan Martinook so early in this season has been more of a blow than maybe I thought it was going to be, and maybe that's from just kind of a penalty-killing perspective and some of the other things that he did. But, I'm very excited to get Jordan Martinook back. I'm excited to get our new goal-scoring God, Eric Halla and Eric Halla's butt back to full health. He did not play the last half of the game out there in Anaheim and hasn't practiced much this week. But Rod Brind'Amour came out today and said he does not expect him to miss any time and expects him to be in the lineup when we travel to Columbus on Thursday night.
Yeah, and I think we're talking about all this, and we've looked at like the points per game and a couple things. One, 12 points in 9 games is like, I think, 109-point pace. That's a good team. Two, the crazy thing is we're currently 8th place in the league behind teams like, okay, Pittsburgh's ahead of us. Not terribly unexpected. Boston, Washington, Colorado.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, NHL.com has them ahead of us, I think, probably because of goals for...
Goal differential, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why. So Pittsburgh's ahead of us or tied with us, however you want to look at it. Not entirely unexpected. Same goes for the Bruins. Same goes for the Caps. The Avalanche have been fantastic so far this season. But three teams who are ahead of us right now that I think nobody listening to this podcast probably would have bet money on: Anaheim, Buffalo, and Edmonton. So I'm really curious when we get to the, let's just double the number of games, the 18 to 20 game mark, to see how the top 8 to 10 teams in the league are shaking out. Because I'd be very surprised if Edmonton, Buffalo, and Anaheim hold on to this, and especially Pittsburgh too, with some of the injuries that they're facing right now. So I think we're in a good place. This road trip was so screwy, and I don't envy the job that the NHL scheduling team has to do, but it is so stupid when we play back-to-back games in LA and San Jose, then have a night off to come back to Edmonton, or not Edmonton, Jesus, Anaheim. That's just stupid.
Yeah, that's difficult. Logistically, tough on the guys' bodies and everything to be able to do. So I reserve judgment based upon a 9-game clip, but this team is fun. You know, as we kind of talk and we look around the National Hockey League, and this is one of the questions that I had queued up for later, but what the hell, it's our podcast. We'll do whatever the hell we want. what's been the biggest surprise so far to you this season, Derek?
Oh, God.
Outside of 1400 Edwards Mill Road.
I mean, it's got to be James Neal, right?
I mean, James Neal currently tied for the league lead in goals with 9, I believe. With, as we go into the night, and I'm not looking.
Yep, David Pasternak.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Pasternak. I was looking to see. I see that Boston has scored already this evening. The question is that David Pasternak with his 10th goal? And sure enough, David Pasternak, unassisted, live in-game update, currently 1-0 Boston, 7 shots on goal. David Pasternak with an unassisted tally at the 10:48 mark of the first period. So there you go.
I'm looking at NHL.com, and I know we're talking a lot about other teams, but both Pasternak and Neal are shooting north of 30% on the year. I'm no Eric Tulsky. Mike Smith's not about to have a sit down with me to figure out how I understand hockey, but I don't think those numbers are sustainable.
Yeah, that does not feel sustainable. But here's the thing, you know, when I say what my biggest surprise, I think it's got to be the Edmonton Oilers, right?
See, it's them or the Sabres. Like, Edmonton has McDavid.
The Sabres went on a 10-game winning streak, though, last year. So the Sabres have shown that they can be streaky, yet we know they are probably bad. Edmonton has been consistently bad, save one year. And I think, you know, they did not make a lot of changes, you know, aside for the Neal for Lucic swap.
But Buffalo's been consistently bad with no playoff appearance. I think they took the mantle from us once we made the playoffs last year. So, and Edmonton has the best player in the world, another guy who's probably in the top 10 in Draisaitl, and both of those guys just feeding the puck to James Neal driving the net. Like, it makes a little bit more sense that Edmonton is this good early on. I don't think it'll last than it does Buffalo, because Eichel's a very good player, Skinner's a good player. Name another forward who's worth a damn on Buffalo.
Ristolainen.
Not a forward.
Leonard? Is he a forward?
No. He's also doesn't play for Buffalo.
Is Miroslav Satan still on the third line?
Why not?
I don't know. I just it's been a fun kind of first 3 weeks of the season.
There you go. Guess Sabres now. Hint, you've never heard of him.
Jim Peel?
Victor Olofsson.
Oh, yes, Victor Olofsson.
Yeah, he was the first pick of the seventh round in 2014.
Wow.
He has 6 goals this season.
Why? It's an interesting start, and you know, it's that time of year where, you know, that's why October, November are kind of like my 2 favorite sports months of the year, because we all still have hope. Everybody still says, you know, the league's starting to figure itself out. All of the other sports are kind of kicking off and kicking up between football and college football and the NBA and the World Series and all that. So it's just so much fun right now. We're going to have on Shane Willis tonight on the Caniac Realtor guest line. He's going to join us to talk a little bit about the start this Carolina Hurricanes team has had, and really how that projects out, how this 5-game break or 5-day break could affect a team that was had been streaking really well to start the season, but had hit a little road bump here in the last week. And I'm sure we'll also touch on Shane on kind of what's going on behind the desk there for the Fox Sports pregame. So looking forward to that conversation, Derek. It's good to be back here talking to you, sir. I know we got a lot of hockey to talk about, but before we can do that, you got to hit that damn X button.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, brought to you by the good folks at New Belgium Brewing. My name's Mike. Derek's here with me. This week, we're talking everything you need to know about the Carolina Hurricanes. And we've got Shane Willis here as well, joining us on the Caniac Realtor guest line. Now, let's get back to Derek and Mike. Yes, guys, we are happy to be back. Shocked that New Belgium still a sponsor. Caniac Realtor still a sponsor. More tailgates this season coming up that are going to be sponsored by New Belgium. We're going to have a couple of live podcasts that we're working on with Chris and the team at over at New Belgium. So expect announcements coming up for that in the very near future. We hope to get together and watch a game, you know, at PNC Arena with most of you soon. And hell, maybe we'll get together with the Sports Channel 8 guys and maybe do a watch party somewhere. I don't know. It's early in the season. I'm drunk off of 6 wins and what I'm drinking tonight. Later in the section 328 beverage review, tonight currently drinking Deep Eddies and Monster Rehab. This is sure to end well.
I'm classing up the joint with a bottle of Kirkland Signature Sonoma Chardonnay.
Ooh. You so fancy. So, Derek, let's...
It's the Signature Series. That's why it's worth $7. But, Mike, I wanted to bring up real quick. Sorry to interrupt you there. But no, you mentioned announcements, and I saw the Canes made an announcement tonight on Twitter that coming up in February will be Hornets Night. Hey, Mike, what do you know about Hornets Night?
I know if Larry Johnson doesn't show up as Grandmama, I want no part of it.
Oh.
Either that or Jimmy. I need
Alonzo Mourning and like an endless, Muggsy and Alonzo Mourning with his like endless supply of sweatbands to his forehead whilst shooting free throws.
I look and just pushing around one of his kidneys in a cart.
Oh God!
Too soon.
I mean, Sean Elliott might think so, but I don't.
Yeah. Lots of excitement. I mean, let's talk about some of the things that the Canes have done this week, right? Hornets night. Which that seems like a great idea when all we've been talking about, Mike Foreman, is wrestling night for 3 years. But sure, let's pull off Hornets night when the Hornets are quite possibly the worst team in the National Basketball Association and the first tip-off hasn't happened yet. But sure, we can't get a little, I mean, like there's two wrestling federations. There's AEW and WWE. You couldn't play one off the other, you know, maybe call up Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and be like, hey guys, you want to get with the coolest, hippest team in the National Hockey League? Maybe bring in John Moxley and, you know, do a whole thing here. But no.
Okay, I would like the team to take their skates off first, but could you imagine a storm surge of a super kick party?
Yes! Yes, just two of the guys super kicking the Young Bucks.
Just, but please, take your skates off first. To fill out paperwork after the game because we've witnessed a murder.
Yeah, I mean, you think about how big the whole Evander Holyfield thing was. I know WWE's in bed with ESPN, yada, yada, yada. But if the play that you would get on social media with a Jordan Martinook plus Dougie Hamilton super kick party on the Young Bucks, come on.
Or, Svechnikov couldn't do it in this town, but... Oh my God, Martinook and Jericho with a little bit of the bubbly.
Yes, a little bit of the bubbly. So, Mike Foreman, get on it. But some of the other things that have come out of Caniacville, if you guys haven't seen this, how are you listening to this podcast? Because you're living under a rock. Scooters. Let's talk scooters, Derek.
Okay.
And let's talk Doogie. Have you seen the scooter video of Fogues, Dougie, and Svetch?
Yes, it's everything that John Forslund's story made me hope it would be.
So what I learned last night at Kane's Corner, great job by John Forslund filling in the massive shoes of Mike Maniscalco last night with Dougie Hamilton at Kane's Corner over at the Backyard Bistro. Great event. We learned that at the end of the season last year, basically the guys got, I don't know whether this was the team or they all did this together, but everybody on the team got a scooter at the end of last season. And when they came back in September, they were here waiting for them.
That's amazing.
So everybody on the team now has a scooter. And the fact of they're just kind of roaming around with them, and the fact that Warren Fogle is using it to take out his trash, and the fact that we know that Svetch now refers to Dougie as Doogie. It's everything. And that's the cool thing. In the last 48 hours, that's not the coolest thing to happen to the Canes on social media.
Kitties and puppies.
Kitties. I mean, how long have we been asking for a kitties and puppies Canes calendar?
The pictures of Svetch with the cat, the little kid is just all over him. I mean, that's everything you need.
I mean, that is Meg's large adult son, and I know how Meg feels about her large adult son and about the kitties at the ASPCA. Shout out to the Wake County ASPCA for partnering with the Canes on this. I can't wait to see what comes out of it, but what a cool thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of pet things going on around the National Hockey League. It was nice to kind of see the Canes jump in, and I know I, for one, have personally banged a drum that the Canes need to be more involved with the community and more relatable. And over this last little five-game stretch, I don't know if there's a more relatable team in the National Hockey League right now than these bunch of jerks. I mean, it's kitties and puppies and scooters and doogies, and I just, on a scale of 1 to 10, I can't even.
Okay, so Mike, we're obviously very biased.
Yes.
Can you think of any two teammates, or maybe not teammates, maybe it could be a coach and a player, or two people involved in the same organization, that you would like to see a, not a buddy cop movie necessarily, but like a buddy flick with more than Svetch and Doogie?
I mean, great topic, by the way, Derek. I love the Thank fact you. That none of this was in show prep.
Was anything?
Sort of. Like, there's like three things. Not only am I going, okay, I don't, let me think on, is there a better like buddy cop, buddy movie duo? But can you imagine Svetch and Doogie as stepbrothers?
Yeah. hold on, real quick. Section 328 owns the trademark and all intellectual property to this idea. Thanks. Is that how laws work? I don't know if I covered it.
I think so.
Okay.
We'll have to check the Section 328 help team and see if they can give us some direction there. But yeah, there's been some good relationships on this team over the years. I go back to Joe Corvo and Eric Cole, maybe.
I'll pass.
But those guys are more Porky's from the 80s than they are like buddy cop movies. Jeff O'Neill and anything. Jeff O'Neill in his fur coat.
I would also like to submit, and not that they have great chemistry, in that they'd have the worst chemistry, and I want to watch every episode. I want to see Mike Babcock and Dubas sharing a condo. Oof. And like they just can't agree on dinner at all. They can't agree on what show to watch, but they only have one TV. They just can't agree on anything, but they have to make it work, damn it.
So basically, Mike Babcock and Kyle Dubas in bosom buddies.
Yes.
Oh man, because they have to dress up in some sort of a costume to go out because everybody knows who they are.
Yeah.
In Toronto.
Yeah. So which one is Kate Hudson and which one is Matthew McConaughey? I'm gonna hang up and listen.
Wow.
Yes, I'm calling one of them the succubus.
The answer is Babcock. That's pretty easy. So I look at what this team is and I look at what they're doing. And again, I know we've given a lot of hell where hell was due. But these guys are fun. They're interesting. Dougie Hamilton's dry sense of humor last night at Kane's Corner with John Forslund, who has an amazing dry sense of humor himself, was just something to absolutely behold. So I don't know. I mean, I think here's maybe the interesting thing and maybe the worrisome thing. Of all of the guys we've been talking about, you know, obviously Svetch and Dougie being at the center of everything great and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked a lot about Sebastian Aho. We haven't talked a lot about Nino Niederreiter. We haven't talked a lot about Teuvo Teravainen. Derek, do we have reason to be concerned now, 9 games into the season, that Sebastian Aho has not scored a goal on a National Hockey League goalie?
I don't think so. I think his first 2 years he was prone to slow starts. Last year he got off to a 12 or 14 game point streak. It was something really, really impressive.
Blistering.
Yeah. This year he only has 3 points in 9 games. Nino Niederreiter, I'm looking here, has no goals and 3 assists. And who's the other one? Turbo. Turbo's playing well. He's got 9 points in 9 games. I think that'll do at any day of the week. So I wouldn't worry about him too much yet. I think when you're getting production from other parts of the lineup, that's fine. It's just the team has been inconsistent so far. And I think that's not entirely unexpected when you've brought in so many new pieces like Eric Halla, like Party Nachos, giving Dougie an expanded role, losing Justin Williams, bringing in James Reimer and trying to find the balance there. It's been up and down, but as long as the ups are more than the downs, I'll take it. I'm convinced that Sebastian Aho, and I will listen to people who know hockey much better than I do, that he is an elite player in this league, and he will get it figured out to be that roughly point-a-game player that we expect him to be. So while the start has been slow, I'm not going to be worried about it until it goes to like game 20 and he's sitting on 5 points.
Yeah,
which I don't think is going to happen, but if it does, then I'll get worried.
Hey, Derek, you know, you mentioned talking to people who know hockey better than you do. I think this is probably the perfect time to head on over to the Kaniac Realtor guest line for tonight's special guest.
This is Don Meyer with Southern Realty. Official Realtor of Section 328. You can find me at thecousinshome.com. I am passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS. Gain money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at thecousinshome.com to learn more.
And folks, welcome back to the Kaniac Realtor guest line. You know him and love him behind the desk for the Fox Sports Carolina pregame show. And as the, I believe, still the director of the Canes First Goal program and the Canes Youth Hockey Initiative, he is the one, the only Shane Willis. Shane, welcome back to the podcast, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great to be back on the show.
Hey, man, we're glad to have you. You just informed me that you were teaching some adults edge work tonight. My ankles hurt just talking, just thinking about it. So is this part of something that you do, or is this part of a Canes initiative that you're working on?
More of a Canes initiative, a little bit of both. I think it's been great these past year and a half to 2 years. We've been running these adult camps at PNC, so giving adults an opportunity to skate there. Obviously, learn more about the game. The one big thing, if you're playing in the adult beer league, the one thing you don't get to do is practice. You just go to games and play, and everything they're doing out there is something they've learned or they're trying to pick up on their own. So it's nice to go on the ice. We do four sessions with these guys and girls at PNC, just working on some of the basics, trying to help them improve their skills so they can become the next level, maybe from a C player to a B level.
I'm assuming that we're trying to get Wade Mentor from a C minus level to a standard C level.
Yes. Well, Wade Mentor was there tonight, working on his edges as a player tonight. We had a little small area game, and I'm not sure if I've ever seen anyone go to the net more on his backhand than Wade Mentor. I gave him a couple tap ins, but he went to the backhand for some reason and missed every time I give him the disc.
Love it. Love it. So let's talk a little bit about the other boys who play at PNC Arena. Carolina Hurricanes, 6-3, 9 games, and a couple of new guys on the team, including Eric Holla, going to the net really, really hard. What's been your impression of the newest addition, newest addition to the Carolina Hurricanes on that third line with Nachos Dezingle and Eric Holla?
Well, I think all these guys have been great additions. Eric Holla is probably the easiest one because of his production this early in the season, coming off a difficult knee injury last year out of Las Vegas. But going off of his stats from the year before, it was an exciting pickup for this Hurricanes team. And he's really doing exactly what this team needs him to do, and that's put the puck in the net. And as you mentioned, gelling together, having some instant chemistry with two other new guys and Ryan Dezingle coming in as a free agent, and then the rookie Martin Nachos, who's starting to settle in, showing that he has that skill level to play at this elite NHL level. But overall, Eric Holla has been one of the best, if not the best, forward for the Hurricanes through these first 9 games.
You know, and you know, the other big addition, it seems like, to this team through the first 9 games might actually be ice time addition by ice time subtraction. Everybody's favorite ginger, Dougie Hamilton, seemingly getting a lot more minutes and being productive as can be, over a point per game, 9 games into the season. Is this what you expected out of Dougie Hamilton as he had the opportunity to maybe take a few more minutes on the power play with the subtraction of Justin Faulk? And what is the ceiling for Dougie Hamilton on this team?
Well, I completely agree with you. I still am surprised how this is Dougie Hamilton's third team now in the National Hockey League with his elite skill level, the way he plays on the offensive side of the puck, the way he can skate, and the way he sees the game. And I think I couldn't agree with you more that the addition and the more ice time, the more confidence that we're seeing Dougie Hamilton play with. And then his overall physical training through the summer, the things he did, the way he works with Dean Chenault off the ice in the locker room. And I think playing along Jacob Slavin really helps Dougie Hamilton in his defensive side. His defensive awareness has gotten better. And I think that goes directly in tune with what he's doing offensively. And right now he is reading the game at a very high level, seeing those spots. And if I'm someone on the ice, I'm trying to find Dougie Hamilton because right now everything he touches seems to go in the net.
So you bring up a guy who's, you're looking for points, you're looking for Dougie. How do we get Sebastian Aho and Dougie Hamilton? How do we get a little bit of that Dougie Hamilton magic to rub off on Sebastian Aho? And how long into this season should we go before we start to get a little concerned about how tightly everybody's favorite magical hockey elf seems to be gripping the stick?
Yeah, I think, I mean, right now I think the pressure is on Sebastian Aho, and it just comes with the game. I think after he's signing the big contract this summer and where this team needs him to be and be their elite forward, that the pressure is there and everyone is expecting him to do it each and every night. Going into the game on Thursday in Columbus, I think coming off that difficult road trip in California, we could see head coach Rod Brind'Amour shake the lines up a little bit. And right now, the chemistry just doesn't seem to be there on Sebastian's line, and maybe a few new faces on his wings could help that. I think Teuvo Teravainen has been very consistent in his game, but right now Sebastian Aho, like you said, is gripping it a little bit. And part of that is teams just keying in on him, knowing he's that elite player and closing in on him and taking away his time and space. But we've seen this before. We've seen Sebastian go in streaks early in a season, not scoring goals, and he breaks out and still gets to the level they need him to be. But the sooner he starts putting the puck in the back of the net and has that chemistry with his line mates and really gets rolling, this team will just be that much better.
You know, one of the things that this team seems to have that we haven't had in previous years, Shane, is the lineup flexibility with so much talent, particularly through that top nine. So as Rod Brind'Amour is looking at this, what does a coach look for in line mates to maybe shake something like that up? As a guy who has, you know, been in the league and played at the top levels, what does a coach look for to say, okay, I need this out of this guy, and how are those decisions made? Are they practice decisions? Are they game decisions? Is it just gut? What goes into that?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all those things you just mentioned. I think Rod Brind'Amour has been around the game long enough. He can read who's working well together and who's kind of... Yeah, I think that helps Sebastian Aho with someone opening up some space for him to get that room to make some moves and do his thing out there. But right now, you know, he and Niederreiter have been together all season long. They just haven't had that, you know, that knack for the net that they had as soon as Niederreiter arrived here in Carolina. It's only a matter of time. I think they're too good of players to be held off the score sheet for much longer. It's just a matter of getting one game. You know, it's, as an offensive player, you just need one, two games where you're getting the 1, 2, 3 points a game that just ignite you and you go on a streak the other way. Right now, they're on a negative streak. And as we mentioned, the sooner that they can put the puck in the net, Sebastian Aho can get rolling, the pressure comes off and the game comes to you easier. It's almost what Dougie Hamilton's doing right now. He had such success early on. The game is coming to him at such an easy pace right now as he sees everything. That's just what Sebastian Aho needs, is a big breakout game on the power play, on 5-on-5 to really get rolling.
And, you know, we talk a lot about Aho and Svech is obviously out there putting up assists on a nightly basis. Dougie's seemingly getting on all of the press right now. 9 games into the season, who's the most underappreciated player on this Carolina Hurricanes team right now?
Well, one guy that I really like and is a huge addition, and we talked about the trade earlier of Justin Falk. I think a guy in Joel Edmondson has been a huge addition to this team. Bringing the size and physicality, you're not going to see him a ton on the score sheet, but he does all those simple, you know, body sacrifices that you need on your team, blocking huge shots, throwing big hits, and playing alongside Brett Pesce. I think that's another guy whose game is elevated and is really underrated. I mean, Brett Pesce was the best plus-minus player on this team last year, and I think probably didn't get enough credit for what he did last year, but has come into this year, settled in with Joel Edmondson, and it has been a dominant duo out on the ice, shutting down other teams' top lines.
Yeah, love the addition of Eddie, and we talked a little bit on the podcast tonight about his pinch chance for not only blocking shots but pissing off Tom Wilson. What is it like, or what does it take to actually lay down in front of one of those shots? I know if I got hit with one of those pucks, it would take my old decrepit body, you know, months to recover. How are those things that just sting and just linger all season? What is it like to actually lay down in front of a shot and block a puck like that, Shane?
Well, I can't speak from experience. If you saw my game, I like to get out of the way of those shots. I remember the one time that Al MacInnis did hit me with one, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad that it didn't hit me anywhere that doesn't have padding. But there's a lot of technique involved. These defensemen in today's game and guys who are killing penalties know the technique. And a lot of it has to do with timing of when they're going down, to time it properly, to take it in their padding and not get caught in a strange position, taking it off the back of the leg or in the back, if you would. But again, so much technique involved, and then it just takes a ton of courage that you're going to sit there and you know Alex Ovechkin is setting up in that shot for his big one-timer, but you're getting properly positioned to know that it's my job right now and I'm going to do it each and every night. And that's why guys stay in the league and have success. That they're going to go down and block those shots every chance they can, helping their goaltenders out and getting those big shot blocks.
Yeah, we are absolutely falling in love with Eddie and hope he, you know, nothing on the score sheet yet, but hopefully he gets rewarded for all the hard work he's putting in soon. Kane's coming off a two-game losing streak as we come back from the West Coast, but heading to Columbus Thursday night and then home against the Blackhawks for the state fair game this weekend. What are you expecting from the Carolina Hurricanes after this five-day break? Should we be a little bit worried about the rust, or are the Canes set up for kind of a recharge to get back to that early undefeated start as we start a little run here with Columbus?
Well, I think the other thing we fell in love with this team last season and even the start of this season is the character that this team has inside that locker room. It starts with the leadership and Rod Brindamore and his coaching staff and the other leaders in that locker room. I expect this team to be ready and prepared to have a lot of jump in Columbus. I know there's always that fear of a five-day break where they're going to be rusty, and that may be as far as transition and executing, but I expect their energy to be very high. We've heard Rod talk about it all week long, how this team needed some rest. They needed some time away from the rink to recharge and re-energize their batteries. They're getting that right now, but I expect this team to come out Thursday night with a lot of fire, a lot of character, and look for a great start in Columbus Thursday night.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. It seems like the hockey gods giveth and then tooketh away for a full, what felt like a week here. So we'll be excited to see the boys back on the ice. Shane, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge the 800-pound big rig-shaped gorilla in the room, and that is the announcement this week that Mike Maniscalco taking a medical leave of absence. The entire hockey world seems to have outpoured their love for the big rig. I'd like to just give you a second to say anything that you may want to share, or maybe even your favorite behind-the-scenes Mike story, which we all seem to have one.
Well, I'm lucky enough that I get to send the big rig a text each and every day, and he's been responding to me as funny and witty as ever, as Mike does when he's on the show. And whenever you meet him, the outpouring of support, I think, has been tremendous for Mike. He's such a great human being for what he does for his organization and what he does for this community. I think that was natural for everybody. But we're looking forward to seeing him back. He had surgery yesterday. I spoke with him this morning. Again, all positive right now, waiting for some test results and everything to come back. But I think we're all in shock when we heard the news of what he was going through. And I can't wait to have him back at the desk very soon. I know I miss him dearly, and his organization misses him, and we're all concerned. But the support and love that's poured out for him, I mean, I can't say enough about it and enough about him. Working with him, I don't know if I have any good stories. A lot of the stuff he and I talk about before the show, I mean, you always are up there seeing us laughing. We're throwing out our best Anchorman quotes and just the things that he says. And we're texting today, and I guess one of the funniest stories I had said, he kind of gave me an update on what was going on, what happened. And of course, the next text comes through, he says, "Boy, could I use a beer." I just that's Mike. You know, he's ready to sit down with the boys, ready to hang out. I know he's ready to be home with his lovely wife again and have that ice cold one watching more games and being back inside the PNC Arena.
Well, we look forward to seeing Mike back. Shane, we look forward to seeing you back behind the desk Saturday afternoon, 12:30 for Fox Sports pregame, 1 o'clock puck drop against the Chicago Blackhawks. Shane, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time out of your evening, sir. We do appreciate it.
Well, I look forward to Saturday as well, and thanks for having me as always. I look forward to another successful, exciting season for this Canes.
Big thanks, as always, to Shane Willis for taking time out of his night, doing the interview well after 9 o'clock after he got off the ice. And again, shout out to Shane and all of the work that he does with the Raleigh Youth Hockey Association and the Junior Hurricanes. If you have a kid of age and when the springtime comes around, I highly encourage you to investigate if you're interested in having your little one play hockey in the Canes First Goal program, because I do know one of the recent graduates from the First Goal program who happens to be the offspring of our very own Mr. Workrate, was unable to skate, learned to skate, and was just bumped up to a house select traveling team. So congratulations to the youngest of the Workrate clan on not only his graduation from the First Goal program, but for basically being the future of undersized defenseman for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's going to be the guy Ryan Murphy never was.
Personable?
Personable, smart, and actually able to skate.
Can take a practical joke?
Wow. For those who don't remember that, just Google Justin Falk, Ryan Murphy, and enjoy the Peanuts video. I can't wait to start to see, like, when we see some of these things in from this team, because that people could actually, you know, enjoy. So Derek, let's talk a little bit more about the new guys. I talked a little bit about Shane with them. You know, the one guy who has quickly become a personal fan favorite of mine, I wrote off the acquisition of Joel Edmondson as part of the Justin Falk trade, thinking that Bach was really kind of the centerpiece of that. But Joel Edmondson has really been that good third pair defenseman, blocking shots and kind of doing what we need him to do. He's not perfect by any means, but the guy's out there. He's a presence. I don't think he's afraid to throw down if he needs to. I've seen him step up to a few guys over the first couple weeks of the season, but the guy's been a shot blocking machine, and Tom Wilson hates him, which makes me happy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I truly just thought he was a throw in. I knew nothing about his game, and I've come to this, like, I don't know if it's an understanding or not, or I've just convinced myself it's an understanding that the term stay-at-home defenseman means they can't skate and can't pass, but it's a way to not disparage someone. Maybe. So when I saw that, like, oh, he's a stay-at-home defenseman, he's a massive human being, okay, fine, he can be like the number six defenseman, whatever. But I've enjoyed his game. Even though he has no points, he's playing 24 shifts a night. He only has 11 shots on goal, but Mike, I got to tell you, I'm really discouraged by the fact that he's a team worst minus two.
Team worst.
Please know that I'm kidding when I say that. I'm with you. He's been a very pleasant addition. You're right. He was not as splashy of an add to this team as Eric Halla or Ryan Dezingle, but he's been enjoyable. I like what he's brought to this team. I also think he's been addition by subtraction in that, you know, as Sarah Sivian has written numerous times and others have said as well, by Justin Falk not being here, it has put Dougie in those positions that we've been clamoring for. We've seen him on the power play more. We've seen him just more of Dougie Hamilton. Again, I have NHL.com up. He's playing 28 shifts a night and 23.5 minutes per night. And Dougie has north of a point a game. So between what he's been able to bring by getting more opportunities and what Joel Edmondson has been able to bring just from a strictly defensive defenseman's perspective, that's been a really strong add that I was not expecting.
Yeah. And you mentioned Wunderkid of Raleigh, Eric Halla, nose for the net. Doesn't look like that 9 months off really has, you know, hurt him much. He's obviously, everyone I think has a little bit of worries about his potential fragility, seeing that he's already been nicked up a few times already this season. But I mean, the guy is basically delivering what Nino did last year, which was power play goals, get to the front of the net, get some dirty goals and just do some great things. And it seems like he and Dzingel and Natchez are really starting to develop some chemistry that could, you know, the difference off in the National Hockey League when you've got your top line being shut down by the other team's top defensive pair and defensive line is that third line. And to have a third line with the likes of, again, a former first-round draft pick and an elite prospect in Natchez and two, you know, good quality free agent additions in Halla and Dzingel, the makeup of this team and the – you know, the flexibility of what Rod Brind'Amour and Jeff Daniels can do from a forward lineup perspective is just really, really fun.
I would like to point out there are three guys on this team who are shooting unsustainable percentages right now, though, Mike. One of them is Eric Halla. He's shooting 28%. That's not going to last over the whole season.
No.
That's the only one who I think is going to regress to the mean in a significant factor. The other two, Andrei Svechnikov right now on 25 shots only has one goal. He's shooting 4%. There's no way he goes an entire season shooting 4%. Also, Nino Niederreiter, 20 shots on goal. None of them have beaten a goaltender or the Sebastian Aho version of a goaltender. He's shooting goose eggs. If that lasts, then maybe the trade is a wash last year. But all three of those guys, there's going to be regression to the mean. Two of those are going to be significant wins for us. And I think that is another thing that bodes well to our earlier conversation from tonight that, yes, the Canes are a good team.
Yes. Derek, let's look at the next couple of games coming up. We've got Columbus on Thursday night, the Chicago Blackhawks coming to town on Saturday. Columbus was the first loss of the season, really kind of fell into fell into the trap of trying to out John Tortorella. So what are you expecting to see when the Canes hit the ice on Thursday night in Columbus?
It's tough because last time we had a break between games that mattered, it didn't go well against the Bruins. Obviously, that couldn't be more different than this, but, you know, we're doing a sports podcast, so we have to do the cliched sports thing, so I got that covered. I expect the Canes to come back really good. We are the more talented team than Columbus at every position, forwards, defense. I mean, Columbus has a good defense, but I will take our defense against damn near any team in the league. And in that, we should be the better team against the Elvis Merzlikens experience. I think we're going to play well. I think we're going to crank up some goals on Thursday night against Columbus, and I think it's going to be a good game. So I'm going to go ahead and put that in the win column.
Yeah, and then Saturday the proverbial steak and eggs tailgate, the State Fair Saturday game, parking and traffic could be a bit of a nightmare. So get out there early, have a little bit of fun, but ultimately – it's going to be the Chicago Blackhawks who are in town, who have one of the worst and most immobile defenses in all of hockey. So I would fully expect this team to just crank out a whole bunch of goals. So I think the Canes get back on the winning track here this week and really just kind of knock it out. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, you mentioned Chicago's defense and then thinking about Columbus and everything of like we've had I hate that we dropped games to San Jose and Anaheim, who are not great teams. Well, Anaheim's played well, like I said, but I don't trust them in the long run. The West Coast stretch, not so much, but we've played a lot of teams that are reasonably talented to this point in the season. I'd say more playoff teams than not. And, you know, coming up against Columbus, then Chicago, then a couple nights off, then Calgary, then a couple nights off, and then Detroit and New Jersey, who have not had great starts to the season. Like, this is a chance for this team to get some momentum. Good Lord, I'm looking at the schedule. Our games after Chicago and Calgary, it's Detroit, New Jersey, Philly, Rangers, Ottawa, Buffalo, Minnesota, Chicago. November could be a very, very good month for the Canes if things go right.
Yeah, and I think that's That's going to be big as you kind of fast forward there and you look at the schedule, Derek, that this Carolina Hurricanes team has the opportunity to put up a lot of points in November, get the hometown fans even further behind them and to just really get PNC cranking. So, folks, get out to the games, get your tickets early, because if this Carolina Hurricanes team is leading the National Hockey League in points, as we would hope they would be near the top come the 1st of December, it's going to be a tough ticket to get. So join us out there at PNC Arena. Derek, we've got so many things we could talk about. Just a couple of things I did want to mention.
Yes.
Quick shout out to Mike Smith, Smitty over at the Carolina Hurricanes. If you've not gone over to CarolinaHurricanes.com and checked out his recent Q&A with Vice President of Team Strategy and Analytics, Eric Tulski, I think it might be the best thing I've seen Smitty write in his 4+ years with the team. He's been here a lot longer than 4 years.
Is this where I break balls and say that's a low bar?
Yeah, no. That's Smitty does a great job.
He does. He just went to Chapel Hill, so I have to. I can't let it go.
But Tulski, a lot of insight showing that we're investing more and more into the analytics of what they're trying to do. And I think it's a good insight into Tulski's mind where he says, you know, I'm just looking to hire the smartest people I can to help us find different ways to look at data and to find these insights. And, you know, you've got an IBM guy, you've got a nanoscientist in Tulski, and I believe we just hired a neuroscientist that he talks about in the Smitty interview. So if you haven't taken the time to do that, go out and read that over on CarolinaHurricanes.com. Shout out to Smitty everything that he's doing over there. Derek, was there anything else we wanted to bring up before we opened up the mailbox?
Yeah. Okay. I think we would absolutely be remiss, and I believe you talked about it with Shane earlier, but talking about Mike Maniscalco, we had to bring it up. Everybody's written about it. Mike is just such a great dude, and we all hope the best for him. And we have not tried to tiptoe around anything on this podcast or not mention it for any reason. But just, you know, it's not our place. That the Maniscalco family has asked for some privacy, but we just want to say our part that Mike and Kristen are both phenomenal people, and we wish only the best for both of them.
Yeah. It's a tough conversation because I know you and I, Derek, have been fortunate enough to have Mike on this podcast on and off for the better part of the last 6 years. We've poked a lot of fun over at Mike and the Canescast guys, and you know, tried to have a lot of fun with those guys. But on a personal note, we both are, I think, hold Mr. Maniscalco in the highest of regards. We are fortunate enough to call him friend, and know that he and his family are going through a lot of things right now. So for those who sway that way, send good vibes and good prayers to Mike and the family, and honestly to the entire Carolina Hurricanes family, because I've been fortunate enough to talk to some other folks over in the front office with the Hurricanes, and this isn't just affecting Mike, as you can imagine. This is affecting everybody who is fortunate enough to work with him, folks from the Fox Sports Carolina staff, to the folks in the team, to the folks in the journalism, the PR department. It's really taken a toll on those guys over there. So best of thoughts to everybody at 1400s Edwards Mill Road. And, you know, anybody out there who's listening to this, whose friends or family might be battling any sort of health issues, it sucks. It's hard. And we're thinking about you. So there you go. Let's open up the mailbox, Derek. Hit some cheat mail. Cheat mail. Bad segue, cheat mail.
That was the best song ever.
Thank you. Derek, this one from our buddy Jason Mariani. He is at College Caniac. How many zingers could DeZingle ding if DeZingle could ding zingers?
31.
18 was the correct answer. Thanks for playing.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Let's get to a real question. This one from Jason Mariani, the College Caniac. How many zingers? Sorry. do that all night. How about we go to Nick Bailey at T Nick Bailey? Now a year removed, what is the best player trade moved from the 18-19 season? Nice question, Nick.
It on the surface it is, but it's really not. Nino for Rask. Come on. Mike, the trade was one for one.
I mean, okay, so the trade, but he's asking, okay, I guess he asked what was the best played. Or
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's obviously the best trade, and it might be one of the worst trades in National Hockey League history if Nino continues to deliver like he delivered last year. You know, much respect to Victor Rask and Sweet Potatoes Everywhere. Do we moved from the 18-19 season? I mean, if you're looking at it right now, though, is Nick Waugh for Eric Halla?
That was not in the 18-19 season.
No, he said player moved from the 18-19 season. It's in the summer. I don't know if Nick, clarify, because I think my answer is right. Otherwise, Derek's
of course you do.
Otherwise, Derek's answer is right, and I have trouble actually even saying those words, much less believing it.
Derek, Mike,
ask me something.
All right, I have a question that I may have a follow up for. This is from our buddy at Mac Winnen, Dougie.
Shout out Mac Winnen. Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, so to elaborate, this also from Mac Winnen. To elaborate, Dougie for Norris?
No.
Why so quick on that, Mike?
Dougie for Art Ross.
Oh, okay. Now allow me to go full old El Paso girl. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Ah, ¿por qué no los dos? West Coast bias.
All right.
Is there such a thing as West Coast bias?
Why not? It's all cyclical.
This one from our buddy Al Hood. He is at Al B. Hood. Who's the most likely candidate to be shipped out via trade? Seems like the Canes aren't quite done shaping this team.
That's a good question. If he continues to put up slightly better numbers, even though the wins aren't as good, James Reimer. Because if there's a team who thinks they need goaltending help and he can put up decent numbers, and there's an injury that happens to another team, I think that'll happen there. I just don't see anybody from the forward or the defensive ranks being a guy who sticks out like a sore thumb to get traded the way that Mike, you and I in our preseason podcast talked about Brock McGinn maybe being that trade candidate if Justin Williams returned. I don't know. But what do you think?
I love the Reimer thing. I think, you know, again, I still think Alex Nedeljkovic could give us everything James Reimer could give us, at a cheaper cost. I also everybody says Brock McGinn's the way to go, but then Charlotte signed Jamie today. Shout out to all of the McGinn family working under the Dundon umbrella. So,
tie to the Everblades.
Yes. Quick, somebody get time again to the Everblades. I can't see anybody on this team who needs to be moved. You know, maybe there's a move depending upon how some of the young guys are playing. You know, I'm thinking the Jake Beans, the Roland McEwens, those guys. Does that free up? You know, does that free up another defensive trade potentially? I don't know. I mean, there was so much talk at the beginning of the season that we were just going to repackage Joel Edmondson and send him somewhere else. And now I'm like, I want Joel Edmondson. I want him blocking shots. I want him on that wall. I need him on that wall.
So what about TVR though?
TVR, exactly. TVR is coming back. So when you got TVR and Edmondson, you know,
damn,
need a former first round draft pick sitting every night as your seven.
But so who do you, if they're both playing to their peak, or at least what we think their peak is, who do you want on the ice, Fleury or TVR?
TVR.
I don't know that I disagree, but I don't know that I'm that quick to say that.
I don't know. Fleury came into the off season and in preseason camp saying he was going to be harder to play against. He was going to be tougher. And I've not seen it on the ice yet. So I'm just waiting for hard to play against Hayden Fleury to be there. I feel like Joel Edmondson filled that role, and then Fleury's regressed a little bit. So, actually, Derek, this kind of leads us into our next question from at Sonny Collins _ respect the _ at the
respect,
end of the name.
Respect, Sonny.
Do the Canes stick with seven defensemen or call up the extra forward? If so, who do you think gets the call up?
Yeah, I think there's a call up before we play Columbus later this week, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they bring back the GOAT, because I think they want Gauthier to play some more in the AHL and dominate on a consistent basis before they bring him back up. So as much as I'm loath to say it, I could see a Clark Bishop style call up where it's the guy that Brendan Moore can trust on the fourth line, and then maybe bump a consistent NHLer up a line if need be.
Yeah, I like Clark Bishop, maybe Brian Gibbons. I agree. I think you leave Goat down in the AHL to play top 6 minutes, and you don't let him languish. But then again, when Gauthier was getting top 9 minutes up here, I thought he played really well. So just interested to say, what else you got, Derek? I mean, there's some.
This is a very different question. This is from our pal Canalytics. You know he respects the _.
I was gonna close with that one, but you beat me to it. Go for it.
We can close on this one. That's a perfect one.
We got more.
Okay, fine. Which Canes player would you pick to cuddle you for a calendar photo shoot?
So if it is a calendar photo shoot and I am going to be like the puppies that the Carolina Hurricanes were cuddling today, it's such a good question, Canalytics. I'm as a big, tall guy myself, I don't want to be cuddled by an undersized forward. So as much as I love our magical hockey elves, I think those guys are immediately out. I think I want Dougie, because I think Dougie would not only cuddle me, but I think he would know a few sonnets that would just bring my heart joy. So I mean, this might as well be the Dougie podcast, because I can't think of anybody better than that beautiful ginger.
Look, we could absolutely turn this podcast into the Corey Hotline, and we can just start saying words that rhyme with Dougie. That's fine by me, because you already picked that one. I'm going to go a different route, but like you, I'm a tall gentleman. I can't pick the tiny guys on the Canes, so I'm going to go with someone who is of size, of strength, and of paternal energy, and give me the new team dad with his longer hair. Give me Jordan Staal.
Oh, good call. That is the first. Think about this. As well as Jordan Staal has played so far this season, we're now into the last few minutes of the podcast. First time we've mentioned Jordan Staal's name.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, topic for the next podcast. Is Jordan Staal the most underappreciated player in the National Hockey League? I'll allow you to kind of ponder that, Derek, before we get to next week. But again, I'd like to say thank you to our sponsors tonight. Again, New Belgium Brewing for everything that they do for us, including future sponsors of what's going to be a couple of live podcasts this season, sponsoring more tailgates later on this season, and being the title sponsor of Cheaters Never Win. Also, thank you to the Caniac Realtor for her sponsorship. If you are selling or buying a home, check her out. She is at Caniac _Realtor over on
Respect
Twitter.
Because
it's home.com. New Belgium, you can pick that up at virtually anywhere you can buy beverages, and they are delicious, including Old Tuffy and my favorite, Voodoo Ranger.
That is not your favorite.
You're right.
Don't lie.
I'm just a standard fat tire guy. I'm just simple.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I do love a good fat tire.
Yeah, I've kind of come to that point in my beer drinking evolution that I'm tired of seeking out the newest everything. Just give me a good beer I can count on.
Fat Tire. Been counting on it 4 years, employee owned, and great sponsors of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Folks, we'll be back here next week.
I'd also like to point out that you called the people of New Belgium delicious.
I mean, I assume they are. They're the owners, and they drink the beer more often probably than even I do. Next week, two guests on the podcast, already confirmed them, so I'm going to go ahead and shoot myself in the foot and name them on
you
this week's
son
podcast.
Of a bitch.
Next week on the podcast, from the Athletic Carolina, Sarah Sivian will be joining us. Also,
I hate you so much
NBC
right now, Mike.
NBC Sports, NHL, the one, the only, our favorite ginger not named Dougie. Sean Leahy, Long Island's very own Sean Leahy, will be back on the podcast. Two guests next week, which means there'll be a lot less of us to listen to. But until then, if you want to come see us, we love to say hey to everybody. So climb the stairs, make your way up to the third level, come over to section 328, make your way to row C, look for the tall, lanky guy who's, you know, tired because he has a child and a job, and look for the formerly fat guy who's also tall and tired because he's got a child and job and life and... but we'll be there. We love our Canes. We love you guys. And we'll see you guys Saturday, 1 o'clock, State Fair game, as the Canes take on the Chicago Blackhawks. So until then, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
We're out of here.
Yeah.